Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. Matthew 6, verses 12, 14, and 15. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. It was Robert Louis Stevenson who lived in the South Sea Islands, and each morning he led his family in worship, which concluded with the Lord's Prayer. On one morning, just before he was to lead the prayer, he left the room quickly. His health was often ill, and so his wife thought that he may have taken ill, and she went out to see if he was all right. When she got out, health-wise, he was doing fine. But then he said to his wife, I am not fit. I am not fit to pray the Lord's Prayer today. When we come to this point in our spirit, when we come to this place where we understand our relationship with God, God is sacred and holy. And God calls us to be who we are. Rick Warren says in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, we are not an accident. Long before we were conceived by our parents, we were conceived in the mind of God. And so, we are something. We are someone. And this does not cause us to take on a spirit of arrogance that goes around and says, I'm holy and you're not. Instead, it is this relationship with God that invites us into relationship one with another. Each relationship comes with its own challenge and reward. This petition, forgive us our debts, has been described as the most frightening petition. Please note that it is the only petition that Jesus would explain. And so, as we talk about forgiveness, we must see it in both the sense of being human and divine. And so those words, we recognize that those words come to each one of us. Something can happen and relationships are broken. And so those words come out of a wounded heart. I will never forgive that person for what they have done to me. Or those words come, I'll forgive them, but I'll never, never forget what they did to me. And so we pray, forgive us our trespasses, And God will forgive. But this also precedes the Spirit, that we will forgive ourselves. We will forgive one another. Why is it so hard to forgive? I think it is hard because it is difficult to see ourselves as a sinner, standing in need of God. A sinner standing in need of God. A dear friend and I used to go door to door witnessing, talking and trying to share the gospel door to door. And when people were kind enough to let us in and we could sit and talk with them, we would ask them, "Do you see yourself as a sinner?" And so many people would say, "No, no." And they would go on to explain that it's the person in prison, it's the drug addict, it's the bad person who is the sinner. We would then share with them Romans 3 and 23. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Even that would still be hard to understand. You know, there are some 6 different definitions for the word sinner. I wanted to share just 2 of them with you. One of them is harmesia, and it means to miss the target. To miss the target. You know I'm a sports fan, and I love basketball as well. And one of my favorite parts of a basketball game is when you come to that last second shot. Inevitably, there's been a timeout, and the coach has called the play, and the tension builds, and the crowd builds, and there is excitement as the team comes out from the huddle, and you get ready for the last shot. The ball is put in bounds. The shot goes up. The shot is missed. The game is over. You know, that person can make the next 9 shots in a row, but they miss that one, and so they are not perfect. We can all miss, can't we? We can all miss the target, and so we are not perfect. We can define perfection as being all that we can be. Picture the goal as being the best father, the best mother, a good son, a good daughter. The list goes on and on. It goes on because it is life that we are talking about. We are not all that we can be. And so we have missed the target. And because we have missed the target, again that word, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is another word, ophelimus, and it means debt. It means debt, the failure to pay that which is due. You know, I think of some of the great heroes of the faith, and yet there was something that each one of them could name, something that they could name in which they had fallen short, and they had to acknowledge their mistakes. And so, as much as they had done, they had not fulfilled everything. Our debt has not been fully paid. Our debt to God, our debt one to another, it has not been fully paid. And so, yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, God does forgive. God does forgive. I think about the meaning and the message of the cross. I think about the first words of Christ from the cross, "Father, forgive them." Those words do not only apply to that moment, but some 2,000 years later, those words apply. They apply to our faith journey now. The Father, God, has forgiven us. And so then the challenge to forgive others. What is involved with forgiving others? Well, it takes a spirit of learning and listening. I imagine if we went around the sanctuary this morning, all of us could name something unfair that has happened to us. We've been the recipient of someone's anger, and we really don't understand just what was going on with that person. Maybe they heard something that someone said you said about them, and you hadn't said anything at all. Or maybe it was a person that had something going on within their life, and you just happened to be the one that they took it out on. Or maybe it's a person who just can't get along with others. You know, it's been said that there are some people who can start a fight in an empty room. Or that expression, if a man has Limburger cheese on his upper lip, he thinks the whole world smells. We encounter persons like this. We can condemn or we can forgive. The challenge then, to forgive. I referenced it earlier that the Spirit also says that we have to struggle with, I can forgive, but I just can't forget. I had a dear friend, very close friend, who passed away some 2 years ago. And even though he was some 40 years older than I am, people called us twins. Because we were always thinking in a dream world, people said, thinking about a new way that the church and the neighborhood could be. He managed my campaign, Janet, when I ran for the school board. We had no idea we would win. Hang in there. There is something, though, about my friend. He was still struggling with an issue. I believe he was 80-some years old when he passed. But we were still processing an issue, something that happened to him in World War II. We all struggle. We all struggle with something, I believe. Something that happened. And it is so difficult to forget. One helpful thing is to understand what you mean when you talk about forgetting. Lewis Smedes, many years ago now, wrote a book entitled Forgive and Forget. And he offered one of the best definitions that I found about what it meant to forgive and forget. He defined it as, you might remember what happened, but you no longer feel the pain. You might remember what happened, but you no longer feel the pain. To no longer feel the pain is to take us to a new place in forgiveness. It is said to be a true story that a father in Spain, that he and his son had a falling out. But the father soon realized that just what had happened, and he realized just how much he needed his son. He realized it to the point that he had forgotten what they were arguing about. So he searched to try to find his son, but he couldn't find him. So finally he put an ad in the paper. He listed it in the newspaper that said, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon tomorrow. Meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon tomorrow. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." The next day, in front of the newspaper office, 800 Pacos showed up. 800. But they were all seeking, all searching, all in need of forgiveness from their father. We can forget. We can forget. And we can see that forgiving and forgetting is a bridge. It is a bridge in healing broken relationships. And so, let us hear this petition. Let us pray it with meaning. And see if it does not hold the promise of a better life. A better life within. See if praying to forgive and to be forgiven does not hold the promise of a better church. See if praying to forgive and to be forgiven does not hold the possibility, the potential of a better world around us. No need for war. No need for ongoing tension and stress. No need for brokenness. Not when we come to the place to forgive. I would challenge all of us to see if we can't be a people of peace. And it must begin with us. Those who have experienced the power of forgiveness within our life. It must begin with us to then go and to model what it is to forgive others. Father, forgive us as we are forgiven. We must forgive. Amen. Amen.